Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Free.
Today is December 1st, 2016, and my name is Lynn Thompson, your host of Living on Purpose, here on the Rabble Podcast Network. This is an exciting day for one reason, because there's 1 month left of 2016, and what a year it has been. It's a lot to pack into 1 year, and I bet you would agree. The other reason, of many, that I can think of is that today signals a new time of pacing of Living on Purpose podcasts on the Rabble Podcast Network, because I've been asked to contribute once a week, and we're starting today. So welcome. If you've just shown up for the first time to listen to my podcast here, I am so thrilled that you found me. And if you're a regular listener, again, thank you so much for your ears and for letting me know if you have any ideas of topics for this podcast, Living on Purpose. I would appreciate that. My email is livingonpurposelyn@gmail.com. And my website is livingonpurposelyn.com. And just for reference, I'm actually coming into 10 years of contributing to the Rabble Podcast Network. I began in the spring of 2007, and at that point I had a live broadcast on CHLY, so I had a lot of material and I was keen to contribute twice a week, which I believe was Monday and Friday for a while. And then I went to once a month when I needed to cut back on everything, when it was just taking over my life as a volunteer broadcaster and producer. But I've been really needing a prompt to be more regularly contributing because I have material. There's things to share. So today is the beginning of a new time, and I really am appreciative of the executive producer, Victoria Fenner, and her team, letting me know that they're looking for something every Thursday now, starting today. So that's why I am recording today, to put together this little intro for you ahead of today's episode, which I will tell you about now. I'm in Ottawa right now as I record this introduction, and it's going together with a recording I did with K.K. Watson, also known as Keone Watson, who lives on the island, the beautiful Garden Island of Kauai in the Hawaiian Islands. I've been spending some time there in 2016, especially after being away for so long, visiting with friends and meeting new friends. I was excited to show up at an event that was intriguing and mysterious, where I wouldn't know anyone, an improv healing workshop. There were about 30 people there, and I knew no one. So Keone and his friend and I arrived at the same time, and we left at the same time. And then I ended up seeing him where he works on Kauai the next day when my friend and I went there to have lunch. I couldn't remember quite the spelling of his name, so when I arrived, I said K-E-O-N-I, and he said L-Y-N-N. So what you're about to hear was recorded in three segments of approximately 10 to 12 minutes each, and I've strung them together just a little over half an hour long. You will hear different sounds in the background, of course, from that beautiful island. Just keep in mind that this was really a spontaneously arranged circumstance. We are out on an outdoor porch with a beautiful view at the home of friends of his. Soon they were going to be having a music jam session, and we arrived just a little bit early so that we could record whatever we were going to record. And we honestly went into this with very little idea of where it would go. And also, you can find KK Watson Music at soundcloud.com. Okay, well, I think that's about all I can say as a preamble. I thought I would throw some snow sounds in behind just to give you the contrast of Ottawa and Kauai. And wish you a wonderful day, evening, night, wherever you are at when you listen to the podcast. Don't you love podcasts? to be able to listen at your convenience. And thank you for visiting the Living on Purpose Oasis on the Rabel Podcast Network. It's wonderful to have you along for the ride. And please do feel free to be in touch. My name is Lynn Thompson. My email address is livingonpurposelynn@gmail.com. Again, thank you for your ears. And now, today's conversation on December 1st, 2016. Really an epic moment in my history of broadcasting and podcasting. Aloha. Keone Watson, we're here on Kauai, and apparently you've never had this experience of being recorded in an interview before, which I find hard to believe. But I would say that it's totally time for this to be happening.
Oof. Living on purpose. It's cool when things work out. Everything kind of comes together like Scrabble. You know, you pull out the letters and it's a total jumble of everything, and then a word appears. And it's not just your word, but connecting with the other person. No, I've never been interviewed. I've never been interviewed and recorded, but definitely done a lot of recording myself, having weird conversations with myself, just hitting record and like putting on different voices, you know, and having an argument or some sort of waxing philosophical conversation between two voices inside my mind. You know, if I get famous off of it, some people will say that I'm a genius. But if I never went anywhere with it, people would just say that I'm crazy.
Or that you wasted your potential.
Yeah. Nothing worse in life than wasted talent. That's from A Bronx Tale. Remember I told you earlier that I just live in movie quotes? It's really bad.
Yeah, so you could be saying all kinds of things, but not really saying anything.
Yeah, just a bunch of quotes from other smart people.
How long have you lived on Kauai?
I moved here December 17th, 1992, and I lived here until I was 17. What I was worried about in this interview is I was worried about my honesty. I don't lie. And yeah, in a lot of ways, I think that it's, I owe it to myself, and I like to live in integrity so that I can sleep at night and wake up and look at myself in the mirror when I brush my teeth. But I left the island for 12 years, and I've been back home now for a year. But in that 12 years, I was in prison.
Oh.
So I've been back for, I don't know, 15 months, maybe less. And yeah, I feel like I've been here the whole time. I don't feel like a whole lot has changed. Kind of like a reverse time machine. But yeah, I went away for a really long time, and now I'm here. But when people ask me, you know, how long have you been on the island, I say since I was five. But no, I was gone for a really long time, and I was in a desert, and I was in a cell, you know. And I've been out for a year now, and teaching myself music, learning how to breathe, learning how to
have freedom.
It's a weird concept.
Do you feel free?
In a lot of ways, yeah, but in more ways, no. Yeah, I trap myself within the box of man, needing to serve, needing to heal. Like, I need to know that I'm serving people, or I kind of get lost. I can make music all day, but it's only under the ambition or aspiration that it's going to do something for somebody else. When I lose that thought, I kind of lose the motivation.
Or the sense of purpose, I guess.
Yeah. So when you said, you know, the name of your podcast is Living on Purpose, couldn't resonate more, you know? Yeah. I went away for a long time, but in the time that I was gone, man, I just rededicated myself every day to learning how to uncover me, like the deepest me, the truest me, and give that to people. Unbarred.
Unbarred.
Pardon the pun. Yeah. But, you know, I was in prison with a bunch of people who were, you know, it's so fear-based, and everything is, you know, this identity wrapped around I have to show that I can handle myself, I can protect myself. It's this philosophy of don't fuck with me. But it's all based on the love that a person has for themselves to be able to get out. Either loving yourself enough to go and commit another crime, you know, or to go be with another woman. But some people, loving their family enough to get through it. And, you know, people are willing to be pretty violent to get home to their families. But the flip side of that is I took that entire ideal, whatever that culture is, the convict culture is what I like to call it when I'm writing about it. And I just walked through that place with a naive innocence, you know, and just being me to the max. I'd sing Madonna and be out on the yard dancing like they did in the 80s, and people wouldn't really know what to do with me. And it was a powerful experience to let myself express myself in a place where self-expression is just so forbidden. You know, it's such a very strict mold that is allowed to be expressed without being stomped out.
Did you pay a price for that expression?
Yeah, quite a few times. Yeah, I had to, you know, I write hip-hop, I write rap lyrics, and I don't write that club rap kind of blunts, 40s and bitches meme. I don't write rap like that. I write very socially, spiritually conscious hip-hop. And where I was, it was all racially segregated, so quote-unquote, I ran with the white guys. And to do rap, it was looked at as, you know, only black people do that. So me doing rap was kind of a no-no, you know? And I had to defend it a lot. I had to defend just that choice, you know? Like,
did you do a rap about that?
Yeah. I have a rap called Racial Tension Etiquette. Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. But, yeah, just the honesty about what goes on. And that in and of itself, you know, when I would share what my raps were about with guys on the yard, they would tell me that I have to get rid of them because if there's a shakedown by the cops and the cops find out what you're writing about, you're giving away our secrets.
Ooh.
You know, so it puts me at risk of being known as a rat or a snitch, you know, and it's just such a death sentence.
You're rapping about the truth.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, reading about all of those poets who turned rappers, who were rapping about the truth, you know, and the politics that would come down, them being in magazines or, you know, them being taken off of radio stations, it always resonated with me, you know, and those, you know, I don't want to say that I'm anything like Gandhi, but that idea of reading about Gandhi and fasting, I would do that in more ways than one, just by sticking to doing hip-hop and not changing and writing rock ballads. Now, I say that because in prison, the white guys are known for listening to rock music, you know? Yeah, no, and I would stay doing hip-hop. I'd be on the yard with 20 black guys, one Mexican, and me, the only white guy, you know? Yeah, just always trying to break the mold.
Yeah. So, you know, you're familiar with the word yearning?
Yeah, very much.
So what would you say is your strongest yearning at this point, given everything?
This point right now, the most in-my-face yearning is to save my parents' house and to give my sister new knees.
Oh.
Yeah. Right now. You know, I mean, if you asked me that 8 months ago, or if you ask me in a year, those might be different. Right now, this very moment, there's a lot of my aspiration in music, which is my deepest passion. It's where I get the most out of life. Yeah, it's to hopefully do something big enough with my music that I can at least contribute to saving my parents' house and, you know, getting my sister into surgery and getting her new knees.
So then your yearning ultimately is to make a difference, to contribute.
To family specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have this driving need in me to be doing that in the world. But over the last 6 months, you know, my parents got information about their housing situation. And I stopped being so ethereal in my dreaming and kind of concretized to just focus on my family right now.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Yeah, if they knew, you know, in more ways than one, my family kind of looks at it like it's just a hobby that I go out and I make music with my friends. And I say that music is my deepest passion, but, you know, the name of your podcast is Living on Purpose, and what happens through music, the relationships that come through music, you know, the ways that I discover a new sound that I could have never developed on my own just couldn't happen. And then it allows me to give voice to something that I didn't even know was there. You know, I didn't even know I had in me. And it comes from me taking the time to develop music by myself, and then the way that translates to meeting other people and going out of my comfort zone to meet other people and make music.
So, Keone, I like practicing saying your name. Have you heard of Abraham Hicks?
That sounds familiar.
It's like
Abraham Hicks.
Jerry and Esther Hicks, and they channel Abraham. Have you heard about
that? Thank you. Yes, I have heard of that, but I've never read a book or any of the channelings.
Okay, well, one of their manifestation prompts is, wouldn't it be nice if...
Wouldn't it be nice... Sorry. Wouldn't it be nice if...
Dot, dot, dot. Okay. I just did a few pages of that today. So I thought, you want to just riff on that?
Yeah, I'll try not to think about it, too.
Yeah, just wouldn't it be nice if... And you can repeat that as often as you want as you go along.
Right. No, it's a beautiful prompt.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be nice if this back porch was my back porch? Wouldn't it be nice if Daniel and I could go to a prison and do some of his improv workshops?
You could be his guide.
Yeah.
Nice. Absolutely. See, I didn't realize that's why you were asking me.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did drama twice with two very special teachers while I was in prison, and it changed my life. And he uses some of the same techniques that they did and some of the same exercises. And I texted both of them when he sent me the email and asked if they knew him because I just felt like he was going to be using some of their same modalities, and he does. Wouldn't it be nice? Oof. It's such a good prompt. I love that. Wouldn't it be nice if my dad and I went on tour together next summer? 2017, yeah, it's on the table. Wouldn't it be nice if on that tour some promoters paid attention to me and liked me and wanted to give me my own little tour, maybe of three cities? Wouldn't it be nice if I got off of my ass and I edited the film footage that I have right now to create the music videos that I want to? Wouldn't it be nice if I published all of the journal entries and the academic articles that I wrote while I was in prison? Wouldn't it be nice? It would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if along my music career I could take as many people as I've met over the last year with me? Wouldn't it be nice? I think you're amazing. Wouldn't it be nice if I sat down every day 10 minutes instead of an hour a week to play piano? Wouldn't it be nice if I taught myself guitar? Wouldn't it be nice if I allowed myself to be behind the microphone more than the mixing board? Wouldn't it be nice if I published all those poems that I have? Wouldn't it be nice if I started my own podcast? This is very empowering. Wouldn't it be nice if one day I returned to the very prison I was released from and I did workshops? Wouldn't it be nice if I made enough money to where I could send each of them some money? All my closest friends. People never getting out.
Wouldn't it be nice to wake up every day and the only thing I have to think about is making music? Wouldn't it be nice if I had a big enough piece of land where people could come and live and do their art? Paint. Grow. Dance. Sculpt. That is such a dream of mine to have a space like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice to just have a huge commune of artists? And all they had to do was wake up every day and make their art. Allow their art.
Okay, so it's 2017, October 2017. And you're looking back over this year to October 2016 when you met LYNN. And you're just amazed at how much has happened. And some of the things you were thinking about and envisioning have been happening for some time. So there's no timeline put on it. And you're so grateful. And you feel so empowered. And you see even more vistas. And maybe you'd like to describe a little bit more about what's going on in a year from now, as if it's right now.
I'm grateful to be working on an album with Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams. I'm so excited about the release record that I'm doing with Sia. I'm so happy to have a check coming in the mail every month. I'm so excited because I was just able to finance a grant for Rivka Rakia and Julie Rada to be able to continue their work in the jails and in the prisons, doing the drama. And both of them are writing articles right now. I'm very grateful. I was able to make a payment on my parents' house, and they've extended it for another 2 years. We're not being evicted. My parents don't have to lose their dream house. I don't have the money for my sister's knees yet, but she definitely doesn't have to be doing as much as she used to, so that helps. And I am putting money away to be able to take care of her knees. I'm super excited. My sister gave me permission to put her kids into private school after they finish grade school in public system. She said that she didn't want to take away that opportunity from them too early. So I'm very happy about that. Just knowing that I can put them in a good school. My little brother finally came home from Oregon. He grew up hating this island, but he's seeing what I'm doing with my music, and he finally came home, and it's me and him again like it was when I was 13. And my mom is so happy to have him home and not going through his manic depressive bouts. Me and Courtney are going to get married, but we're not getting married on paper. We finally set a date. It's been a long time coming. She's done a lot of traveling. It's nice when she's home. But I travel too, so we try to work out the balance. But it's working well. She's working with kids in Vietnam, and I'm doing my music. And any time that I can fly her out to see a show, spend some time with me in the city, it's nice. And true to his word and true to our vision, Malcolm and me are still making music. I don't do anything without his input. It's really, really nice. AZ's kind of always doing his own thing, but, you know, he jumps in every now and again for a quick freestyle, and he's off to do whatever he wants to do. Eddie still won't stop talking. No matter how much time goes by. But he's so happy with his guitar playing now. He used to always beat himself up for even listening to his voice, listening to his leads. And now finally he can stomach his own songs for more than once. It's really nice. Cynthia made her dad proud. She's stoked too, and I know she's going through a lot of healing, seeing how many people are healing from her expressing her hurt. It's incredible to be with the same people a year later, still kicking it. Simple beaches, amazing back porches. No matter where we go or what we see, we always want to come back to this island and make music where it all started. And then we bring that healing to more people. It's incredible.
How old are you, Kayoni?
30 now. I almost said 31 thinking about next year. 30, I'm
30. 30, nice. Okay, so you're half my age. So let's say...
Are you really 60?
No, I'm 59.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in disguise, so, you know, I'm not really 60. I'm really about 25.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
Imagine yourself coming up to 60.
Hmm.
And what would you say to yourself now?
No matter what you do, don't stop making music. No matter where life takes you or what it's throwing at you in the moment, every day, even if it's only for 20 minutes, return to the music and it'll feed everything else. And when you're making that music, don't forget your pen. Keep writing by hand. Don't ever forget it. I know you got a handle on buying journals now and writing by hand, but just try to make sure not to forget it. Because it's a really, really beautiful practice. And it served you for so long, and it's only going to keep serving you, but you just got to remember to keep doing it.
And you remember being 15?
Yeah.
What would you say to yourself now?
Quit using drugs. If you can just be sober, all that other crazy shit you want to do, cool, but just be sober. You can go crazy, you can go wild. Just be sober doing it. And everything else will take care of itself because you know what's right and you know what's wrong. And if you're sober enough, that really wrong thing, you won't do it. But you just gotta be sober. And that means that you're gonna have to allow yourself to feel so much. Because you are a feeler. You feel so much. And I understand why you don't want to feel so much. It feels like you're gonna explode. But you won't, I promise. Just be sober. Everything else. You have such amazing people around you, and people really love you. And if you're sober one day, you'll accept the fact that they really do love you. It's not just a game. It's not just for a minute. It's real. Very real. Stay sober, and the world's yours. And you'll do good with it, too, because you're awesome. You really know what it is to give, and you know how much it means to people to help. And you learn so young how to care, really care. Just stay sober, keep feeling. I promise you won't explode.
Really, there is no time. When we got here, you were berating yourself for always not being on time, but time really is so malleable. It's really at our mercy as to how we see it and handle it and manage it and recognize it, you know, so that when we arrived, there was no other time for us to arrive in.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. The guava was right there, ready to be stepped on.
Exactly.
You know, and there was no other time for us to arrive in.
Yeah.
I was glad to have a bit more time to get to the meeting place, to be on our way here. And it's linked also to the myth of procrastination. We think that something has to be done by a certain time, and we hold ourselves back from it.
Totally.
It's not the procrastination holding us back. It's us believing in it.
Yeah.
Believing that somehow we've missed the right time. Yesterday I was writing to somebody, well, I'm going to catch up on... No, I'm not going to catch up on anything. I'm going to attend to something now.
Right.
Because I'm right on time for doing it. It's not
gorgeous.
Like... You know, it's not like I've missed the mark. And so...
I love that.
You know, the beautiful thing about you connecting with your 15-year-old self... I mean, beautiful to be at the 30 mark, you know, so you can easily... look back half your life, look ahead twice your life,
mm-hmm.
and just give honor in all directions. And it's all you, mm-hmm. and it's all part of you. And all of that in all directions is who you are right in this moment of whatever time is, right?
Yeah.
And so it's nice to just integrate yourself into all of who you are, into the wisdom and the naivety and
Yeah,
I mean, my goodness, at 60, I still feel so innocent. What a strange thing after thinking I've experienced so many things, but how refreshing, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My buddy AZ would say, he would start waxing philosophical about the interdimensionality of everything, and that all times are happening right now. Your 60-year-old version is happening right now. Along with your 15-year-old version and with your 30-year-old version. I love having conversations with him. He's so fun. So fun. And that's why he writes such amazing lyrics. Such amazing lyrics. But yeah, thank you for that. It's very true. And it feels very real, I mean, just to tap into those right now with a prompt from you. Such a gorgeous practice.
I wrote a brief piece of writing called the Self-Acceptance Declaration. And part of that is, I love myself no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Even when you're crawling out of your skin in anguish.
Yeah.
You can still tap into that love.
There's so much poetry and writing I want to share with you. Oh, my God. You say things and I'm like, oh, I have journal entry about that. Oh, I have a poem about that. You're talking about time. I just recently wrote a rap about time. And it's so
good.
Come
on, I just really want you to give us a little sample.
I can something. Really? I can't remember it, but I can read it.
Yeah? Do you have it?
Please.
Okay.
So I haven't rapped this a cappella before, but my mom says that it's really good, no matter how you write music, to always return to speaking it instead of singing it or rapping it or bebopping it or scatting it. She says that it's a really good practice, and it has changed a lot for me. She used to sing for the Tubes, and she was in Off-Broadway. She knows a little thing or two. Time. Time is an incredible thing, but we made it up. It's not natural, nor will it ever be. We invented it for betterment of managing the message from the heavens we've been letting do the blessing of acceptance. But little did we know, by our invention, we rejected all the blessings from the people with their intuition messed with. Mess made. No cleaning up. Too focused on the future vision beaming up, and too focused on the power that was teaming up. Time and space divided. Speed.
life, speeding up. Division is what they gave us, separation from our grace. Time unfurled, wild went the world. Control the clock, control the world. Control the people with a countdown swirl. Spirit doesn't recognize time in a way where our soul gets trapped in a clockwise cage. Spirit only knows time through our eyes, so it's up to us to push time aside and let spirit breathe and let soul speak. Christopher Columbus of the spirit world, I stay traveling, I'm unraveling mysteries that hold gifts for me, and that wisdom tree is my deepest need. And now I'm growing, I'm planting my roots, I'm digging in, uprooting truth, channeling knowledge that the world knew when the world moved to that deeper tune. When the world vibed as that world tribe, and our world knew what our soul could do, and our spirit cried when any one of us lied, and our spirit grew when any one of us tried. So try right now, let spirit God, bring it back to the present, that old vibe. Let wisdom speak and let fear die. Surrender to the faith that we all one. Disconnection done. We never going back to our separation from that God truth, that God groove, that place in the metal where our spirit lie. Time. It'll never be natural. With the music going, that's how I do it. Time, it'll never be natural. It's weird. My voice is so weird when I'm reading something that I wrote.
Is it? Yeah. Do you want to say, for the record, along with that, your full name, please?
That was a poem / rap by K.K. Watson. That's my stage name. I call myself K.K. Watson because when I was growing up, my family never called me Keone. My family always called me K.K. And at the end of the day, I want my fans to be my family. So yeah, I don't put my full name on stuff. And it's really hard. Keone Kakila Aukai Watson. Say that on the radio. And here's the next cut by Keone Kakila Kahika Lakahiki. Can we do that again? It just won't work. But K.K. Watson, that's not bad. That's easy for a DJ.
Well, so we take a little break.
Yeah. I'm going to eat some more almonds.
Oh, yes, right. Well, then, just to wrap up at this particular point, pun intended, what does living on purpose mean to you, Keone? Keone.
That perfect place where purpose and passion intersect. When we find out our deepest passion, and it's so easy and so effortless, everything just kind of lines up and purpose unfolds. Where our passion intersects with some sort of need, a family need, a community need, a friend need. Where our passion serves that for someone else. Yeah, so for me, living on purpose is living in service and knowing that I'm worth it. And I don't mean for this to rhyme, but I'm going to keep on working it. Really, Lynn, thank you.
Thank you. It's a treat to just follow through and go into a space with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is nice. Follow through is good. I need that in my life.
Follow through, you know, it's all about when you meet people, and, you know, we meet people in all kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I often meet people where they work, and then we just develop a rapport, and then we meet outside of work, and then friendships, you know, they just go wherever they want. And because you don't have a context of familiarity, there seems, not saying that familiarity doesn't allow for growth or expansion, but when there isn't sort of a preconception of who each other is, it allows each of us to be even more of who we already are, because there's no reference points.
Yeah.
We just are who we are, and we don't know anything else. And so it's no surprise if it just keeps expanding, right?
Yeah. And I get to re-know myself every new person I meet.
Mm-hmm.
But with other people that I've known for a long time, I definitely feel myself falling into those patterns of expectation. And when I meet new people, I almost get to know myself all over again and be like, oh, wait a minute, I just changed my passion. By having a conversation with you, I realized here's a new path for me.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
Awesome. Well, to be continued.
Yeah. Hopefully, that'd be cool.
Yeah.